freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
You're all a bunch of slaves. A bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
While no one condones looting, on the other hand, one can understand the pent-up feelings that may result from decades of repression, and people have had members of their family killed by that regime. For them to be taking their feelings out on that regime, U.S. forces should not be blamed for the lawlessness and looting in Baghdad, as it is a natural consequence of the transition from a dictatorship to a free country. Those are the words of Donald Rumsfeld speaking in 2003. What a different tune they sing today. If only there was oil in Baltimore, then I guess they would be excusing everything that's happening there right now. It is April the 30th, 2015. This is Anti-Media Radio, and I'm your host, S.M. Gibson. How are you doing out there tonight? Excuse me. As always, we're going to start the evening off with a few topics. Before we get into the rest of the show, and to be honest with you, there's not a lot of notes for the show. There's definitely no script. There never is. There's a lot of frustrations that can be felt throughout, and it's resonating throughout the entire country right now. I don't know. Before I even go off on a rant here, let me give everybody the stats that I like to share with everybody at the beginning of every show. 70 Saudi Arabians, America's wonderful ally. 70 people have been beheaded by the Saudi government so far this year. Basically gun-free Chicago, 122 murders. 670 people have been shot. So gun laws don't work. And now for the two big stats, which is going to lead up to everything we're talking about. There have been 38 officers killed in the line of duty so far this year. Six have been killed by gunfire. 10 from a heart attack. 11 car accidents. 38 killed in the line of duty. 388 American citizens have been killed since January the 1st, 2015, by police officers. 388 to 38. And I like giving the stat about how many officers have died in the line of duty, because especially down here in the South, that's always the excuse that you hear from people. Well, you know, 388 people have been killed by cops, but how many cops have gotten killed? How many cops have gotten killed? That's what you always hear. Well, I'm here to present both sides. I just want the truth to be out there, whatever the truth is. And the truth is, it's 38 and only 6 of those by gunfire. 10 heart attack, 11 car accidents, so on and so forth. And the numbers go down from there. What we're seeing right now in this country is frustration. We're seeing pent-up anger. We're seeing the media just completely falling apart, the corporate media. They're looking like fools right now. they can't get their story straight. And what's sad is you kind of see this gloating going on in the media tonight, because it looks like the officers involved in the Freddie Gray case, it appears they're going to get off from any wrongdoing, and the media is almost gloating about it. Even, I mean, let's forget the circumstances of the situation for a second, and let's just focus on the media. Like, you're supposed to be unbiased, and you're like, well, that's what they said. So they're clearly serving an agenda. I mean, the media, the corporate media, should I say, is just completely out of control. And you know, that's why we're here trying to, you know, at least shine some light on reality, I guess. There's a great piece, and he's going to be calling here in just a few minutes. Great piece that just went up less than an hour ago by Justin King on the Fifth Column. And wow, it's amazing. And I'm not even going to get into that. I'll let Justin talk about it when he calls in. But the way that the media is handling it, and the media, everybody knows that listens to this show, I really, really hate the dividing lines of talking about race in any way, because to me, we're all the same race. We're all part of the human race. One person in Baltimore's problem is my problem. It's everybody's problem. But the media is just being who they're choosing to put on TV. Is ridiculous. If you've got somebody on TV screaming and cussing and hollering, that's very emotional, and you know they can say, well, look, you know, they're being out of control, they'll sit there and they're showing that person, and first off, that person should understandably be upset because everybody's emotional in this situation. But if they're screaming and carrying on, they're fine with showing them. But you get a very well clear-headed thought come out of anybody's mouth in that crowd, they're quick to turn them off immediately. Somebody starts making this rational, calm conversation, poking at the official story, poking at what's gone on in the past, that will cut them off immediately. They don't want that. They don't want the truth to get out there. They don't want any sort of intellect. They only want emotion. They only want response. They want what it is, viewers. They just want to see somebody react, and they want to poke people with a stick and see them react. And I think it's absolutely disgusting. The media is just not interested in facts or truth at all. They're only interested in ratings, and they're only interested in provoking people. And they definitely do not stand with the people. They stand with the people that are paying their paychecks. That's the people they stand with. For example, they were sitting here. They were talking tonight, and it's so funny how, like, if you look in Ferguson, well, there's conflicting stories. There's conflicting stories. You know, we don't know what's going on. Well, tonight they're saying, well, there's conflicting stories about the Freddie Gray case, and there's somebody that knows the cops so well, and we've talked to them, and we know that they're friends with them. So his story is conflicting from what, you know, has come out later on this evening. Which, if you haven't heard, by the way, what they're saying is he hurt himself in the back of a police van. And something about there's a bolt imprint in his head. It matches up to a bolt in the back of the van. I mean, whatever. Anybody that just automatically thinks, well, that's, you know, closed case, done deal. I've talked about it at great length on this show. Go look up the story of Terrence Yakey, and let's talk about, whoops, they hurt themselves. I don't know. Terrence Yakey, look at that story. And, you know, they've never lied about anything like that before, and that was a police officer. So they're saying it's okay, though, that it's conflicting in this case, because they say, well, all the conflicting stories are coming out. They're still exonerating the officers. I mean, he knew the officers, so he must know the truth. Eva Braun knew Hitler. Would you trust her as a credible witness against his crimes? I wouldn't. You know, people that know people are going to protect people. People that are friends or family members are going to try to protect somebody. They don't want to see their loved one get in trouble for wrongdoing they've done. That's just human nature. But they overlook all that, and they just automatically, well, he's innocent. And that's what they want to do. They want to get to this, he's innocent. They're just trying to, that's where they want to go with this, and they want to look back and go, oh, what was all that rioting about? Why were you rioting? Looting, huh? You're all idiots. That's what they want to do. And they're clearly missing so many points because this, first off, you know, the Freddie Gray situation, if it had body cameras on them, it could be resolved and we wouldn't have all this speculation about the situation. And that's the mayor's fault. We wrote a story about it on antimedia.org 2 days ago. If you want to go look that up, she vetoed the bill to have body cameras on Baltimore police officers. But this is such a bigger issue than one case. This is a huge, massive issue in this country about all Americans except for the rich, except for people that can buy their way out of a situation. That's the problem. It's Black Lives Matter. It's White Lives Matter. It's All Lives Matter. And I spoke about this the other night, and it's just absolutely incredible. They asked a police officer on TV, what do you think, police officers are racist? His response was, no, we're not racist. We kill way more white people every year than we do black people. Like, that was a good thing. That was his argument. We kill way more white people than we do black people. It's like, are you serious? That's your argument? Hey, guess what? Don't kill anyone. I don't care what color they are. Don't kill anybody. And you know what? It's because of socioeconomic problems, and it's predominantly black Americans that are in certain situations. But again, human race, we're all in this together. All in this together. We have to stand up for each other, period. Ooh, you got a different shade of skin than me. Big deal. Stand by your fellow brother. Human race. That's what matters here. We've got to get over these stupid divisions that the media wants to shove down your throat because it's absolutely ridiculous. They want to keep you divided. They want to keep me divided from you and you divided from me. But no, not on my watch. That's not what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to join arm in arm, hand in hand, with anybody under any circumstance that I see oppressed and there's an injustice being done. Period. We're all in this together, the human race. And the media wants to lead you down some crazy road to keep you divided. We talk about how politicians are the enemy. And politicians are selfish. They're out for themselves, which in turn makes them the enemy of the masses, which is absolutely correct because they're only, you know, serving their self-interest. But that makes more sense to me, that selfish angle, and it's horrible, than what the media does. Because what the media does is there's not so much a personal self-interest involved. Because you've got somebody like Chris Matthews that's saying something completely opposite of Bill O'Reilly. But both of them at the same time are trying to steer you down some crazy road to keep you pent against each other. They want to keep you divided. Both sides do. And they want to have their own opinion. Oh, you should feel this way. You should feel this way. Here, you're in the media. Tell the truth. Just tell the facts. Tell us what's really going on. Stop trying to stir people up. Stop trying to get people at each other's throats. You want to make everybody out to be some villain, and you want to be some loudmouth hero. Oh, look at me. I overspoke you. I can talk louder than you. That's crazy. And that's what it's become. That's what the media has become. And if you've got anybody that doesn't really have the people screaming as much as the MSNBCs and the Fox News, you've got CNN, but give me a break. They've been caught with green screens multiple times while they're doing live reporting. So that's a joke. And then you got somebody that's, you know, Mr. Professional, Brian Williams, a professional reader. We all saw how that went. You can't trust them. The media are professional liars. If you want to get into corporate media, you want to become a professional liar. And you don't even have your really own self-interest at mind. If you did, you'd become a politician and, you know, screw everybody behind them or whatever and stab people in the back. At least that makes sense from a human nature standpoint. The media, I don't even get. It's ridiculous. It's a joke. And what's funny tonight, they were doing a report on Fox News earlier, and this reporter was trying to interview the mayor of Baltimore, and Al Sharpton was with her. And he runs up and tries to interview her, and bodyguard, cop, was walking with him and just shoves him out of the way. And they've got it all on camera. And the guy's sitting there talking to whatever host of the show was, and he goes, "You know when you get shoved by a cop?" Like, he was, like, coming out aggressively, like, people don't want to get shoved by cops. And the host just stopped him right there, cut him off. Cut him off because he was basically about to accidentally prove all the points they don't want people to hear. They don't want people to hear that cops are like anybody else, that there's humans. There's good humans and there's bad humans. And they don't want to hear that, you know, these people are infallible. Oh, you wear a badge, so you have to be perfect. You're an employee of the state. You have to be perfect. And that's what people have been brainwashed to believe. People have to get over that. They have to understand that people are people. And just because you get a paycheck from where your tax dollars go, guess what? Maybe your tax dollars are going to do some really bad things. People don't want to admit that to themselves. Maybe your tax dollars are going to fund some stuff that you wouldn't approve of. Maybe you're paying for people to be killed, and they're getting away with it. It goes back to the quote I was talking about at the top of the show, the Rumsfeld quote. When they were looting and rioting in Iraq in 2003, that was okay. That was okay because they had pent-up feelings that may result from decades of repression and people who have had members of their family killed by that regime. For them to be taking their feelings out on that regime. Does that sound familiar? Does it sound familiar? That's what we're going through right now, and nobody wants to understand it. They just want to wave the red, white, and blue flag and say, we're perfect. Sorry, guess what? The United States is not perfect. It's not even close. And before you can you have to realize that before we can change. You have to understand that. You have to look at your neighbor and realize your neighbor's not your enemy. The person that's your enemy is the person that's telling you your neighbor is your enemy. That's where we're at right now. The person that is taking your money, it's theft. We just got done giving up penance to the religion, which is the United States of America, on April the 15th. You paid your penance, you paid your dues, you're a good citizen. Now, let our Nobel Peace Prize winning president that's got it all under control go wage some more drone strikes. It'll be okay. Don't worry about it. There's a really good show coming on Netflix next week. So just, you know, go binge watch that and go back to sleep. You've got Netflix. What do you need to know what's going on for? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And if you really want it, if you're really interested in what's going on, you've got Fox. You've got CNN. They're telling you the truth. You can see what's going on. You can see what's happening. But I've gone off into some crazy rant here. I'm going to bring on Justin so he can talk about his fantastic article that just went up. Justin King, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Oh, can't complain. Frustrated probably like everybody else, but, you know, that's kind of the days and times we're living in right now.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, not much else to be expected right about now.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so I read this article. You just posted it, I guess. And I read it like 10 minutes before we went on air here. And it just blew me away. And I didn't really have time to go back and read it again and just like absorb the whole thing. But give people a brief rundown of everything you go over in that.
Basically, it's kind of an open letter to law enforcement agencies. They have started crossing lines that have always been viewed as, you know, taboo. You know, there are lines. I saw a woman today get butt stroked with, you know, a guy with an M4 hit her across the face. As an American, seeing a military presence and make no mistake about it, whether it's, you know, they're calling them cops, but when they're outfitted like this, they're not.
Right.
Seeing a military presence do that to an American citizen infuriates me. And it infuriates a lot of people. And there are elements that are now siding with protesters that if this continues and these elements actually become active, the downward spiral of this, it goes into insurgency, real live Iraq style, Bosnia style insurgency.
Now let me pose a question to you real quick. Okay, I think there's still a great percentage of Americans that say, you know, we're pretty much living in a police state here, and they refuse to accept it. No, we're not. We're not living in a police state. That's not happening. You're crazy. You're a conspiracy theorist. And we had that kind of exact same thought pattern and scenario happen with, you know, the government spying on your phone calls. That's happening. Everything you do is getting recorded. All your crazy, your conspiracy. And we had our Snowden moment. And when Snowden happened, everybody finally went, oh, yeah, maybe this is happening. The difference is this is happening on national television night after night, week after week. They can see it, and they still refuse to admit that it's happening. I mean, what do you think it's going to take for people to acknowledge, hey, maybe we are, you know, on the precipice of a police state?
Well, I mean, there's always going to be some people, you know, there will always be good Germans, you know.
Right.
That will do what the fatherland told them to do. And those people are always going to exist. The difference between the Snowden, the surveillance, and all of this electronic stuff versus what's happening now in Baltimore is that your average soldier, your average veteran that just spent all of this time doing counterinsurgency operations in Iraq, which means he knows how to be an insurgent, they can accept surveillance because they're used to it in the military. Everything you do is monitored. Every time you go get on a computer, you slide your card in,
mm-hmm.
pull it out. Everything you do is monitored. They're used to that. These guys did not fight in Iraq to see American citizens treated worse than they treated the Iraqis.
Right.
And those are the elements, and you know, people talk about waking up the general public, but there are certain elements within society that, with or without popular support, can cause real problems. And what's going on in Baltimore is angering one of those populations greatly.
It is. And now, correct me if I'm wrong. I remember this being said a lot at the time, and I know you would know better than anybody that I talked to. When there were soldiers coming back, were they not asking them, would you fire on an American citizen when they were coming back into the States?
That's been a question they've asked since the late 90s.
Oh, wow.
The percentages are higher now of people that would say yes, but the reality of that is statistically, historically, when the order is given, they fire.
If it's an American citizen, they're fine with that.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. In my mind, there are certain groups, there are certain units, there are certain, you know, elements within the military that would, you know, fill them the bird and walk away. Your average infantryman his lieutenant tells his sergeant to fire, that sergeant says fire, he's going to fire. Now, if one of those cogs in that wheel breaks, you know, even if it's the lowest ranking guy, even if their sergeant, when he gets the order to fire, doesn't pass that on, they won't fire. It's
all about chain of command, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, and to a lot of these enlisted guys, especially the young enlisted guys, you know, they're NCO, they're non-commissioned officer, they're sergeant. This guy is God. All right. So if he says no, they'll follow his lead. If he says yes, they'll follow his lead.
Wow.
That's the way it is. In fact, most of the time when you hear about some horrific war crime, like Haditha in Iraq, for example, their sergeant got hit. Next thing you know, you've got a 19-year-old corporal in command. And, you know, they go in and wax this village. Those non-commissioned officers, if you're going to try to reach somebody and wake them up, anybody that has SGP in front of their name, those are the people you need to be trying to reach. Because those will be the people that really, they really run the army. You know.
So are you saying it gets worse? Are you saying maybe it gets worse when the inmates start running the asylum? Or is it coming from the top down, do you think?
Well, I think that there's enough. It's funny because the officer class nowadays is more concerned about the career.
Mm-hmm.
Your enlisted guys are still, for the most part, they may not know that a lot of times they're being used, but to them, they're patriots. They love their country. What they're doing, they honestly believe they're doing the right thing for the country. Those are going to be the guys that are going to be less likely to follow it through and fire on American citizens. You know, it's going to be that middle grade, not the fresh troops, because they're going to do whatever they're told. But the guys that have been in a few years, that have seen a little bit more, those will be the ones that hold back. And luckily, they have a lot of influence over the younger guys. But in the vast majority of situations, historically, when soldiers are told to shoot, they shoot. Their main opposition, oddly enough, the people that are so angered by what's going on in Baltimore right now, are veterans. These are the guys that came back. They came back, their benefits are gone. They have PTSD. They can't get the VA on the phone. You know, Veterans Affairs, you know, won't clear them to use medical marijuana, you know, even though it's been proven to be like the most effective PTSD drug out there. Those guys are very angry. And a lot of these guys don't have anything to lose. So if they go to Baltimore to assist the protesters, it takes things to a whole new level.
Yeah, it's going to get live real quick. And, you know, it appears, you know, today or tomorrow is going to be the day. You know, I'm afraid we haven't seen anything yet, because they're going to come out and say no officer did any wrongdoing. And, you know, we're never going to know the truth of what happened. You know I can't trust what they say, but that could be true, and I just may not trust what they say. But there's going to be thousands of people in Baltimore that don't trust what they say either, and it's going to kick off. I'm really scared it will.
If they come back and say that no officer did any wrongdoing, yeah, it's going to get bad. It's going to get real bad. I had a debate with some officers and some police supporters today on Facebook. And the question I kept asking is, give me any proper use of force scenario that results in a broken spine. And none of them could. I mean, this is going to be one of those. It's going to be really hard to whitewash this.
Oh, yeah, and that was one of the questions they were asking tonight on the news. They were saying, well, this came back. And the guy, you know, that's why they cut off somebody that's talking intelligent, somebody screaming, they'll let rant. And this guy just said, okay, what scenario is going to happen where a guy's spine gets broke. Like, how is that happening? And he couldn't answer it, and they just cut him off. They wouldn't let him talk. Which, you know, is a symptom of living in the situation we're living in. The media doesn't want any other view other than the viewpoint they're trying to shove down your throat. But, you know.
Right. That's why we aren't told about the peaceful protests. That's
right.
We're not told, you know, about, you know, some of the more interesting alliances that were forged and why they were forged.
To me, the Blood and the Crips getting together is incredible. And on top of that, of course, the media spun that the wrong way. Well, they're getting together to kill cops. No, they weren't. They were getting together to protect their communities and protect those businesses and protect the people. Non-violently, might I add.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, that's free market act. It's a selfish act on the part of the Bloods and the Crips. They're not doing it for their community. They're doing it because these are the places they make money. And I mean, I'm not faulting them at all. I mean, I think what they did was wonderful. Because these are people, right or wrong, these guys have influence in their communities.
You know, absolutely.
If you had two Crips standing outside of a convenience store and you're going to go and loot it and you see them standing there, you're probably going to change your mind. You know?
Right, right.
That isn't a group you want to anchor if you live in that neighborhood. So, I mean, I definitely think they did a lot of good. They were actually probably more effective than the police.
But I'll say this, and I'll tell you this much. Where I grew up, I was friends with a couple of kids. A couple of kids were Bloods. I knew more Crips than Bloods. And if you were friends with somebody that was in that environment, for me personally, they protected me. They watched out for me. They made sure nobody gave me any trouble. I wasn't, you know, involved in that. I didn't do that. That wasn't my thing. They didn't care. They liked me. They took care of me. So, you know, I've seen, and I know people do bad things. I knew a lot of people that ended up going to jail. People that got killed. But at the same time, I've seen the good side, and they protect people they care about. And I could see this is a situation, there's people coming in to harm our community. We'll take care of it.
I mean, that's absolutely correct. I mean, honestly, the only problem I have with a lot of these street gangs is the protection money. You know, they run and they do some racketeering where they charge stores and businesses and protection money.
Right.
But other than that, you know, I honestly, I don't have a problem with drug sales. I don't have a problem with a lot of what they do. That's their business. I don't really care.
But then, like with the cops, to me, I draw the violence for me. You know, the violence that comes along with it, which is, you know, how you claim your stake in the community, in the neighborhood, you know, that's why you get the rep you do, but it's the same with cops. And people don't realize that they're doing the exact same thing. Somebody's going to get violent on you, whether you're wearing, you know, a blue uniform or you're wearing a blue do-rag. It's going to be the same thing. Yeah.
And I think, and that violence that they're so used to, and the police are using tactics. And it's one of the things that I've been watching in Baltimore and that I saw firsthand in Ferguson. What they're doing, they can control untrained, undisciplined, you know, people with no combat experience that are throwing rocks and, you know, a flammable liquid in a, you know, glass container. You can control that with those tactics. With the element of society that they're angering right now, they can't. I mean, they're so outmatched if this happens. I mean, this is something that will get very bloody. We're talking about basic tactics that if you're going to wear a uniform like that and you're going to carry an M4 and you're going to pretend to be, you know, this hardcore soldier, you should at least have the common sense to have at least one person facing the other direction to make sure nobody comes up from behind you. And they're not. I mean, these guys are, if this goes loud, and I do think there's a possibility that it will, they're going to get slaughtered. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. They're just...
Now, do you think that's what corporate media is doing right now. They're trying to kind of cover themselves by saying, well, see, nothing did happen here, and everybody jumped to these crazy conclusions, and, you know, don't, you know, it wasn't the cops' fault. There's, you know, all these protesters were wrong, and they're trying to die down the aggression that's been going on.
Yeah, I mean, our mainstream media, our, you know, CNN, Fox News, these guys, you know, everybody says that, oh, well, they erase the state and they inflame. No, they really don't. They're a commie source. It's like in 1984, you have, what was it, the 2 minutes of hate?
Right.
Or whatever, you can sit there and you can yell at the guy on Fox News because you, you know, agree with what he's saying and, you know, those stupid thugs. And it lets you get that anger out. I mean, they are a control system in our society. They're certainly not a news network.
No.
So it's what the mainstream media is playing, and their narratives are entirely based on pretending to be objective, pretending to be anti-establishment, while at the same time trying to calm everybody down.
Yeah, I mean, like you saying they're trying to be anti-establishment. I saw like 3 weeks ago, Hannity said, the mainstream media is covering this as, like, you're on Fox News, dude. Like, are you kidding me?
Oh, I must have missed that. That's classic.
Oh, yeah. Like, my head almost exploded when I heard that. But what's funny is they're sitting here and jumping on this situation, and they're just like, see, nothing happened. There's a bolt to prove it. Look at Walter Scott. Look at Michael Slater. Look at that entire situation, okay? The first reports that came out from the media, no big deal. This thing happened. Yeah. Just we killed this guy. Had it coming. Whatever. It, you know, came at me. And then the video comes out. Boom. Guy shoots a guy in the back 8 times for no reason. Because there was a video. And there was no weaseling your way around that. Somebody had to be tried for murder immediately. You see him dropping evidence. You see him just murder a guy. But we had the video of it. We don't have video of this. We don't have video of Ferguson. And I wish video solved it. Eric Garner proved that that doesn't even solve anything.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, we have the Tamir Rice video. We have the John Walker video. And all of these people were cleared. John Crawford. I guess his shooter's looks like he's getting hit with a federal indictment. So maybe something will come out of that.
Have they cleared the Tamir Rice situation yet? Like, have they officially cleared it? I don't think
the locals have.
But it's still on the federal level, though, right?
Yeah, and I think the state is also involved because, you know, and I've heard some very interesting stuff about that, and from people inside that community, like inside law enforcement community, they're not angry at the shooter. They're angry at the driver.
But he was possibly, really?
Yeah, and it took me a second to follow this too, but the way it was laid out to me was...
Oh, by the way, so everybody knows, you're up there close to that situation. You're in Ohio, in the same state where that all happened as well, so people have...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The way this ex-cop explained it to me was, you know, the standard procedure, if you have somebody that you think is armed, you stay back and evaluate the situation. The driver pulled right up next to this kid. So the guy that wound up shooting, he had to get out, and he had, in his mind, only had a split second to make the decision. So it's funny. Most cops that I have talked to clear the shooter. They're like, you know, I might have done the same thing. But then immediately followed up with, but if that happened to me, I would beat the ever-living out of my partner because he never should have pulled up that close.
So they're blaming the driver.
Yeah. I just find that really interesting.
Wow.
Because it is something, you know, that a lot of us wouldn't think of.
Like, I mean, I guess in double think kind of, you know, double speak kind of language, I guess that makes sense if, you know, we are living in 1984, but I mean, I guess that gets the emotions going, that gets the adrenaline pumping, he pulls up and you're ready to go. But
right. I mean, because you're right there, you believe the guy has a weapon because that's what was, you know, radioed to you.
The guy is a 12-year-old boy that clearly looked like a 12-year-old boy, though.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that this is a justifiable defense.
Right. Well, I know you're not. But
I definitely, I just found that perspective extremely interesting. Because what it showed to me was that law enforcement, they do it quietly. But they do critique themselves. Which, you know, was something that...
You know what I think it is, what it sounds like to me? Tell me if I'm wrong. These guys are putting themselves in the position of the shooter. What if it was me? And they're saying, I might have done that. But I'm not a murderer. I've got to justify this somehow. Oh, it must have been the guy driving the car.
You know, and that was my thought when I was having this conversation. So I steered it to John Crawford. And it wasn't unanimous, but the majority of officers said that that was not an appropriate use of force. They were very reserved because they knew what I do for a living, but I mean,
right?
They didn't come out and say he needs to go to prison, but they did say that I wouldn't have shot. Quote, that was my. I think that was probably the best response. It was just a very interesting conversation.
Well, we definitely steered way off the topic of your article.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, real quick, just a quick synopsis of that, because I'm telling you, that is something everybody, you need to go out there and read this article in the fifth column right now by Justin King. So let's go back to what we started talking about.
Well, it's basically trying to explain to officers, and this was a spinoff from what happened yesterday with the cop, and nobody can really tell now after we look at the email whether he was trying to be sarcastic or not. But I answered him sarcastically, and then I actually wrote the article that he wanted, which was advice on going to riots for a law enforcement perspective. And this was kind of a continuation of that after I heard some other conversations going on about the people that are now willing to go and help the protesters. And it's something that I've alluded to all the way back to Ferguson, was that, yeah, you can do this to college kids and to activists. You can treat them like this. You can't do this if you're facing organized resistance. Mm-hmm. And they're at the point now where the people that are offering assistance to protesters have the training to turn, you know, a gaggle of unorganized protesters into a very formidable opponent for the police.
And
it terrifies me. Because I've seen insurgencies firsthand, and it's the civilian that ends up paying, you know.
And here, it's kind of funny because, you know, people, you wrote the story about this too, and I know you're big on debunking conspiracy theories, but you can't prove that ISIS wasn't funded and basically inadvertently built up by the United States. Think about it in the same context. The United States provided these people training. They have their knowledge now, and they were sent back out into the world. It's real similar if you think about it, except one was in Syria and one's in the United States. Okay, these people were trained by us, and now we just cast them off. Who cares? Screw you. We don't care about you anymore. And they've been trained militarily, and then things kick off. They could cause some real damage. That's scary.
The reason I don't think that there was any intention behind that is because they can cause too much. These units, and especially, I wrote an article recently about a group called the Special Forces Underground, and these are Green Berets. Their whole job is to train civilians how to fight. And these guys have their own movement that's existed since the 60s that is geared to stopping the military being used against U.S. civilians. And when you're talking about units like that that are going to be in opposition to you, they can destabilize the country. We're not talking about turning a riot into, you know, a bigger riot or turning it from a riot into a firefight. We're talking about turning a riot into a full-blown insurgency. We're talking car bombs, you know, assassinations. These guys have the training to do it. And
I've met a few Green Berets in my life. I grew up with somebody that became a Green Beret, and all nice people, but they're all the craziest human beings I've ever met in my life. Crazy.
Well, they have to. I mean, what they're asked to do, I mean, basically they're part of a 12-man team. They're dropped in behind any lines, if lines even exist in the conflict. And their whole job is to walk into a village and train people they don't know how to kill people. I mean, it takes a special kind of person to do that.
Yeah.
And the guys that I've worked with that were Green Berets, they're smart, they're educated, and they have a propensity for violence that is unmatched. I mean, these guys are killers. And I mean that in a positive sense for once. I mean, that's their job, that's what they're supposed to be good at, and they are. So groups like that are willing to assist protesters. You know, right now, the cops are saying, oh, well, a Molotov cocktail was doing. No, somebody put some gas in a glass container with a rag and threw it at you. There's
right.
No cocktail part of that. The SF guys and the people that are now beginning to desire to assist the protesters can teach them the methods of fitting that with other items that you put in a cocktail, that turn it from something that flames up and goes away into something that continues to burn.
Yeah, and like, to your point, like, I think, like, nothing has, like, as loud as it's gotten in Baltimore, nobody's really gotten hurt. They were talking tonight, they were saying, oh, this cop had his knee really hurt. His knee really got hurt. And that made me angry, because it's like, yeah, well, this all started because a guy got his spine snapped in two, but whatever. But they're talking about his knee got hurt. Like, and what you're saying is, you know, oh, this guy threw a bottle, this guy threw a rock. Yeah, that's small potatoes. That's not even the anywhere close to what we could be seeing very soon.
Right. I mean, yeah, these guys have the ability to turn, you know, the flaming bottle into a true incendiary device and turn those rocks into pipe bombs. I mean, you know, they love these MRAPs, but the fact is there's a reason the Army's giving them away. They're not really that good. And for $11, you can turn that thing into an oven. I mean, that's... And these are the skill sets, you know. Somebody like me, I understand the theory behind it. You know, I have some practical experience with some of it. These guys did that stuff for years. You know, their tactical ability is so far beyond what law enforcement is used to dealing with. It's not even going to be a fight.
Even with the equipment that the police force has now, and you know, they're basically, like you said earlier, police force is basically militarized.
Right, but the thing is, they have the tools, but they don't have the training on how to use them. I mean, when you're looking at these checkpoints, you see four guys all facing the same direction, you know, which that's cardinal rule. No, you don't ever do that.
You know what it reminds me of? The Revolutionary War and how it was described, the Revolutionary War's fault. You got the redcoats lined up. Boom, you're in your line. This is how we fight. There you are.
Right.
And you've got these other crazy people out there in the woods shooting at them, and you take them out.
Right. And that's what's going to happen. These four guys are going to be looking one direction. They're going to be shot from behind. And then all of those cool toys that they got through the 1033 program are now in the hands of their opposition. I mean, and we're talking about if these guys provide these systems that they were going to, we're talking about a conflict that will last a day. And then the cops wouldn't come out anymore. They'd be at home protecting their family. And that's and once that happens, it spirals outside of Baltimore. And that then that's
well right now Philadelphia is a lot more getting a lot louder tonight than Baltimore. There's definitely people still there, and it looks like they've had a few, you know, semi menial skirmishes, but there's definitely people marching with some passion up there right now.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's a, you know, the guys in Florida canceled their May Day, or not Florida, in D.C. They canceled their May Day event because right now all of those guys are driving up to Baltimore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, so you have...
Why don't you repeat what you just said for everybody real quick?
May Day is a large event for activists, specifically anarchists. It happens every May. There was one scheduled for D.C. that was going to be very large. They canceled it and told everybody to go to Baltimore. Again, these guys, they're kind of the middle ground between the protesters that are there now and the military assistance, the veteran assistance that I was talking about. These guys, they know what they're doing as far as being in a riot, but they're probably not going to go on the offensive. But they're definitely... From watching Baltimore try to handle the guys that are there now, they're going to get run over. I mean,
wow.
Baltimore PD is not capable of handling what's happening. And
there's no leadership in Baltimore either. As far as a community base, it doesn't appear. It seems like they're 30, 20 minutes from D.C.? I mean, I'm sure it's just all being prodded by the federal government.
Yeah, well, and that was when we got an alert the night before the National Guard moved in. And, you know, that was, I'm going to clean up what he said because he's a very foul-mouthed individual, but his statement was to make sure that our readers know and that the protesters knew that it wasn't Ferguson. It's less than an hour from the Capitol, and the response is going to be different. You know, they will call out the National Guard. The National Guard will have live ammo. You know, they need to be prepared for a very different environment. And he was right. There were definitely more toys deployed. But as bad as Ferguson PD was at handling Ferguson, they at least had a plan. You know, it wasn't a good plan, but it was a plan.
And I'll get even...
doesn't appear to.
I'll give Ferguson the benefit of the doubt in saying they're a suburb of St. Louis. Like, you're in Ferguson, Missouri. There's a difference between a suburb of St. Louis and being prepared for a situation and Baltimore, which has been dealing with a lot of problems for a long time, and then where they're located in reference to D.C., that's night and day. That's a completely night and day situation.
Yeah. And the thing about Ferguson was, their plan was they expected people to riot as soon as the verdict was read. So they had a plan to hit everybody with tear gas right away and just send them home.
People didn't start rioting until they shot tear gas.
Exactly. Well, what happened was, you know, the people didn't respond the way they thought they were going to, and they didn't riot right away. They started marching, and then somebody somewhere gave the order to go ahead and execute the plan they had, which was to hit them with tear gas. But instead of having them all confined right there in front of the police station where they were all going to go home, they had them spread out. And once the tear gas hit, they all went in different directions and they started burning stuff. I mean, they had a good plan if people could riot like right away. It would have worked.
Right.
But it didn't. You know, that's not what happened. And, you know, it's like everything else, you know, everything that has to do with combat or any kind of situation like this. everybody has a plan until the first shot's fired, and then everything changes. They didn't adjust.
Right.
And but from what I'm seeing in Baltimore, they don't even have a plan. I mean, I think their basic idea, and not to find a point on this, is keep them in the poor black areas and let them burn it down.
That's definitely the impression I get. And to me, the mayor is a complete idiot. And the reason I say that is not this Fox News rhetoric of, well, she said they should just go riot and burn stuff down. For me, the reason the woman's an idiot is because on the day that Obama came out after Ferguson and all that situation and said, you know what, we need to have body cams. We need to really look into this situation. She vetoed a bill for political reasons that would have required Baltimore to have cameras on all of their police officers. And then she comes out after she vetoes it and says, well, I still think that these cops should have cameras on them. We just need to look into this a little more. It was a two-page bill. It wasn't any of this crazy rhetoric. You know, it wasn't, we're not hiding this in there and there. It was what it was passed by the city council, and they came out and said, well, the city council doesn't have the right to tell the police department what to do, so I'm going to veto it. That's what it was about. It was ego, it was politics, it was pride.
Right. Well, and the other thing behind this is you can't win a mayoral position without the support of the Fraternal Order of Police.
Well, she paid them back on that one.
Yeah, I mean, don't kid, she's not getting reelected anyway.
No, she's done.
I'm certain that her reasoning for vetoing it had more to do with the FOP.
Oh, I completely, that's the first thing that came into my mind. The first thing that came into my mind. But, you know, I was talking to my dad earlier today, and he was the president of his local union, which is different than Fraternal Police, obviously, but similar, it was United Steelworkers. And he said from his perspective, he's like, I get it, but he's like, if I was in that position, like, I would want them to have cameras, so if my officers did anything wrong, it's like, hey, guess what? I got a camera. Leave them alone.
You know, and that's, I've tried to explain that repeatedly to the cops. There was that incident down there in South Carolina where the cop pulls the guy over, he gets out of his car and he reaches into the back of his truck, and he pulls out a shotgun. Cop shoots him 3 times, finds out it wasn't a shotgun, it was his walking cane.
Right.
But from that video, I'm looking at it like I would have shot. I mean, it looked like a shotgun. And when that happens, and you can get that video to people like us, who, I mean, to quote the attorney down there, this guy makes a living frying cops. If I say, no, this, I mean, it was a mistake, it was horrible, but this was an honest mistake, that video is what got that guy cleared. If they all had those, and this guy, and he did everything by the book, and it was just, you know, a bad judgment call.
Yeah, and that's what my dad's always stressed, like, and he's, you know, very down the line with everything, and he's like, what's the problem? Like, why won't they do this? It will exonerate innocent cops. And he's like, well, if they're not innocent, then screw them, you know? They should be.
Yeah.
Right. He's like, but they should do this to protect them. They should be thinking of it in the mentality of, I should have this camera to protect myself. Because I shouldn't have the mentality, I'm going to go out here today and shoot 5 people in the back.
Right. And if you look, it's funny because I can't remember if it was Montreal or Toronto, but one of the two.
Justin, we're going out, brother.
Ah, all right.
I know. Great, great show tonight. Justin King, everybody. Terrence McKellum. Get it tomorrow. Anti-Media Radio, SM Gibson out. Peace. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo.